What's this?
One.
What's this?
Dos.
What's this?
Tres.
Three straight wins. I feel like the count from Sesame Street. Counting. Three straight wins. That's a win streak. That's good. That's a nice win streak. Tomorrow night, they'll get back in action against the Rockets. TNT, Jordan. Nationally televised game. Pels been playing a little bit better on national TV.
What was that?
A little bit better. Well, they earlier in the season, they kind of didn't. That's all. Speaking of playing a little bit better, Jordan kind of has spurred a little bit of a question today that we're talking about that we can throw in the background here. As, look, I got to be honest, right? He's been playing really well. Lee and Joel, give me about 30 to 60 seconds here because I want to set this up. But this gentleman here has been playing really well.
Ingram, good pass the ball, left wing. Three, another splashdown for Lonzo Ball.
Not just shooting it.
Morant weaves through traffic. That got blocked from behind by Lonzo. On the break, up the floor, Bledsoe, laying good.
That's an 11-0 run by the Pelicans to retake the lead.
He's playing really good, isn't he? Oh, would you pull up some stats now?
I did
huh?
pull up some stats.
What you got?
So in his past four games, he has 6 turnovers. Usually in some of those games.
Is that combined?
That's combined.
Wow.
Usually in some of those
games. That's a game. Normally.
That's a game.
Stop it. But no, it's.
He also has over 15 points in all of those games. So
really?
Yes.
Wow. Look, it's a serious kind of question we're discussing today. Is he making you reconsider moving forward? Or you still like what you see with Kyra and we're just going to go that direction? Trade deadline's next month. I just want to kind of keep that in your head as we move forward and talk about it. Because again, they've won 3 straight, but it's because the backcourt's playing well. They are. And you're getting some help from the bench. And as Cajun Goat said, we can lay it all on the Billy train.
Billy.
Billy Hernan Gomez. It's all his fault that the Pels are winning 4 straight. However it matters and however you see it, they've won 4 straight. We're talking about the Tampa win over KC, 31-9. I think Devin White's had an unbelievable postseason. He didn't even play against Washington. Jordan, the intern here, has blamed Pat Mahomes for the loss, and then he's in love with Tom Brady, which is fine. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well. Let's get to the phone lines. We have Joel on the on-deck circle. We will start off with Lee. Thank you for calling, sir. How are you in hour 2?
Hey, Gus, thanks for setting me up, man, because I'm done with football. I really called about the Pelicans, and let me tell you. You know what? I mean, there's a lot of reasons I'm done with football right now. As a Saints fan, I'm sick about it. Because I'm like, dude, we own these dudes, man. That could have been us hoisting that Lombardi. But anyway, I digress. Gus, I called about Lonzo. Because I was like, y'all, man, like 2 weeks ago, I'm like, man, you know what? Might need to go in on a trade, Lonzo. But I don't know what's going on with him. Then all of a sudden. When the trade rumors came out, this cat started balling out of control, man.
Good.
I mean, yeah. And it's like he's like, look, man, I don't want to be traded. There's a stigma about getting traded, and he don't want to be traded. And if he keep playing like he's playing, the Pelicans should not trade him. I'm not a prisoner of the moment. I'm looking at it from a basketball standpoint. He's doing the things that winning basketball, that signifies winning basketball. If you listen to Antonio Daniels, he'll tell anybody that will listen. Lonzo Ball has to have a good game for the Pelicans to have a chance. That's the bottom line. You and I have been saying it since he got here. If Lonzo Ball plays well, the Pelicans have a better than 50% chance of winning. And because he's a facilitator. The bottom line is you setting everybody else up to play. You can play the two-man game just like Ingram and Zion play a two-man game. You can play the two-man game with Ingram. You can play the two-man game with Zion. But the bottom line, if y'all just get the ball to Zion, let the offense run through Zion, everybody's going to eat. Everybody's going to eat. And I'm telling you, they've been doing a lot of that these last 3 games. And I'm
they need to do more, by the way, Lee. There's some games that I'm texting Todd and Jordan. I'm like, at any moment, please, can we pass it right back to Zion? Can someone pass it to Zion?
Yeah, Yes. Run the freaking offense to Zion, man. It's not going to kill you. He's very generous with the basketball. He's good. He's got a really good basketball IQ. He knows when he's getting doubled down and all. He knows it. Give it to him. Let him draw the defense in and kick it out to a wide open shooter. I mean, uncontested threes are high percentage shot. It's just like Antonio Daniels said. If you don't have nobody in your face when you're shooting a three, that's as almost sometimes as good as a 10-footer in front of the rim. You know, if you have an uncontested three, chances of better than average is going to go down. And we're starting to see that. I'm like, if they just run the offense through Zion, feed him, man, feed him, and he's going to reward everybody else on the team. Mm-hmm. There's no reason Zion shouldn't have average. He should be averaging 7 to 8 assists a game. He can average that if they just give him the ball. Let him run the offense through him, and then when the double comes, he's going to kick it out. He does it every time. Every time. All they got to do is just let him, you know, bring the ball, push the ball up the court, mm-hmm. and then let him touch it, get that touch in. As soon as you get that touch in, the defense collapse on it, kick it out to your open guy. Bam. All day long. That's basketball. You're like Antonio. I mean, I keep stressing what Antonio's saying, but he's been saying it. That's basketball. When the Pelicans play like that, that inside-out game, they're practically unbeatable. And he's been right every time. I haven't seen one game that they've lost yet where they fed Zion on the ball and he kicked it out and they ended up losing. I haven't seen it yet. They got to keep feeding him, man. I don't know. They need to stand their gun. They need to take this tape for the last three games, package it up and say, look, this is how we going to play basketball from now on. I don't care what, nothing else go on. This is how we going to play basketball. And if they do that, I'm telling you, man, the Pelicans are going to win a lot of games. They're going to win a lot of games, and everybody's going to shine. And right now, no, I don't think any of our players should be considered for trade right now. Let's give them some time. Right. Let's put a larger sample size together. But right now, no trade, nobody. Because even Bledsoe's playing better. No, we got the two guard. When the guard play is good, the team is good. Okay. So as long as they keep doing what they're doing, that's it. That's all I got, Gus. Thanks for letting me rant, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Lee, Jordan, quickly before we get to Joel.
Yeah, Pelicans PR over on Twitter a couple hours ago. In the Pelicans' wins this season, Lonzo Ball is averaging 16.8 points on .479 shooting from the field, including .471 from three-point range to go with 5.8 rebounding and 4.8 assists.
Can I read that a little bit differently for you just so you can learn? Because you like to confuse people. You struggle with that. Ball's averaging 16.8 points per game, shooting 48% from the field, including 48%.
Why don't they just
from three?
48%.
Because that's the original button.
I don't like
if it's over five, you just say.
Well, you learn something new every day.
47% from three, 48% from the field.
Well, all right. Well, just learn something new.
Well, when you start going .479, people are like, what are you talking about? I'm just.
So you know. You're right. You're right. Yeah, you're right. I just wanted to be correct.
Point is, to Lee's point and what you're bringing up, and thank you for finding that stat, is that you. I mean, when he plays well, the Pels win. I mean, Zion said it, though, right? Joel, thank you for talking to us. What you got, man?
Hey, guys, I was going to sample off the full buffet there right quick. First off, Jordan, you're an idiot if you think that was Mahomes' fault last night. And anytime you can see a guy run around constantly, completely horizontal to the ground, throw a pass that hits his receiver in the face mask. The dude doesn't hold on to it. Oh, yeah, by the way, while he's in the end zone, mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. This
Thank
isn't
you.
His fault.
Also, Joel, you was saw what? That. Thank you.
I will say that there was the greatest incompletion
ever. Let him talk. Go, Joel.
There were two touchdown passes that were dropped, not including when you saw in the first quarter, what was it, a 30-yard pass right in the hands of Travis Kelce, and he dropped it. You had a feeling something wasn't going to go right that night.
Mm-hmm. I'm hearing a lot of Tom Brady
two haters. Different balls that he never. No. It has not, wait, why can't you like both of them? Mm-hmm. Why do you equate it both ways? Tom Brady is fantastic. You can't take anything away from him. But don't try to disparage Mahomes by trying to pump up Brady. Brady doesn't need anyone to be disparaged to pump him up. But don't put this on Mahomes. Mahomes did everything plus to keep his team in it. No one gave him any assistance on the offensive side. Even more so, his head coach didn't give him any assistance. When you have two deep safeties and you can't run the football, mm-hmm. that's speaking to your coaching abilities And look, Andy did a great job last season for the Super Bowl, and he did a good job most of this season, and maybe he was distracted with what's going on in his personal life, but they did not make the adjustment. Those safeties were never caused to bring up because the Chiefs never gave them a reason to. So let's not blame Mahomes on any of that. He did more than anyone could really expect him to, especially when you consider the injury on top of all of that and the condition of his offensive line. Now, Gus, to address something that you were talking about, no, I hate to tell you, but the Bucs, as they are constituted now, once they finally got to play together, have better weapons overall than the Saints do. Mm-hmm. Thomas, fine, you can match that up with one of their receivers, but then what? I will take their two and three receivers, plus their plethora of tight ends, any day of the week and twice on Sunday over what the Saints have on the field. Now, running back, yes, Kamara's great, but when you can bring a two-headed monster of Jones and Fournette, I'm sorry. You know, Latavius Murray, I love. He's a former Raider. That we brought him into the league, but I'll take those two over that, especially when Fournette wants to play beast mode like he did at St. Aug and at LSU. So, overall, Saints fans shouldn't be disappointed at all. The team they beat 9, 10, 11, 12 weeks ago, whatever it was, is nowhere near the team that you saw last night because they finally were able to come together. Plus, Ali Marpet didn't play in the game against the Saints, and I don't believe Devin White did either. So you're talking about two key components that made the game completely different. As far as the Pelicans go, Look, yes, Lonzo Ball looks great. He's also in the last year of his contract, and last I checked, it's always a smart idea to sell high, because let's be realistic. Kyra Lewis has looked good, and this is a kid who's, what, 19 years old?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we use a lottery pick on him. It's not about, we're not winning a championship this year. We can all agree to that. So it's going to be about building a team moving forward. Are we going to go with Lonzo Ball as our primary one, or is it going to be Kyra Lewis's team? To me, in the little bit we've seen on a kid that has barely played much ball, has been exciting, and you give him time to develop, he's going to give you what you want as your number one point. So you take a guy who's in the last year of his contract, let him, you know what, I hope he balls out like nobody's business, because then you can sell high and get more for him to go forward building a team that can compete for a championship. Because right now, this team is not there. Unless we can find a scorer to go with the second team, we're going to have these barn burners constantly. Because you've seen it in the last, I know for sure, two games, and probably the last three. When we have that second team on the floor, things start getting kind of sketchy. And then they have to bring in Ingram early, because he's the playmaker that can kind of settle things down, and they can kind of run things through him that allow us to recoup. Our second team is atrocious right now because there's no one who's a go-to guy. Redick hasn't stepped up the way that he's been able to in the past, and maybe he will as we get further into the season, but there's more parts that are needed to make this team a true competitive team as far as championship goes. And while I like Lonzo Ball, he's on a one-year deal. He's going to want to get paid, and we could better use those resources in other places.
Great takes all the way around, sir. Thank you for sampling from the buffet. And I got to tell you, that's the thing with Lonzo. I looked at Jordan during one of the breaks. I'm like, hey, look, at the very least, he's helping himself in every single way, and he's helping the Pels. If you do intend to not give him the long-term deal and trade him, you're helping that value go up, so you can probably get more than you probably could have 2 weeks ago. His play, the way it is right now, if it continues to go, it's going to make it easier for a team to give him the money that he wants in a max deal. And if he continues to play well and makes the Pelicans say, hey, we want you to be a part of this team moving forward, he's going to get the deal that he wants. So, yeah, it's all good if he continues to play this way. And believe me, I'm sure Rich Paul knows that stat that Jordan brought up, man. I mean, it's simple, you know. When he plays well, the team wins. That's easy. That's an easy sell to teams, that when my guy shows up on the court and if things go well, your team's going to have a chance to win. So that's what you want. And like a team like Chicago that's being talked about, you have Zach LaVine, you have Coby White. He just needs to go be the distributor over there. So it's going to be interesting to see it from that standpoint, man. But great phone call. Thank you, Joel.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. 800-998-1003. We can open up the phone lines here after we bring in Rafael Esparza. By the way, Jordan Leonard Fournette, how about his game last night? Huh?
No, he had a great game.
89 yards rushing on 16 carries. Also had 46 yards receiving on 4 receptions. He had himself a really solid postseason, man. Really did. By the way, Good Morning Football. You like that show, don't you, with Kay Adams and company? You know them, huh?
Yeah.
You watch that?
Yeah.
Now, you know what they said about Tom Brady? Complimentary piece to the Buccaneers. That's a little more than that.
Wait,
I mean,
what? I was what?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I wasn't paying attention.
What? Yeah. Keep looking at your videos slandering Pat Mahomes. The amount of memes are insane. Seriously,
the one where he gets knocked out in the UFC.
Yeah, photoshopping his face on Conor McGregor. That's terrible. Raphael next on ESPN New Orleans. These are my people.
These are my friends. You're invited to start 2021 right now on the new Toyota of your choice at Homa's number one dealer, Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Start browsing our online prices at GregLeBlancToyota.com for low online prices. You can get your top dollar trade-in value and low monthly payments with the click of a mouse. It's just that easy. If you're a new or returning customer, our friendly staff at Greg LeBlanc Toyota will make you feel right at home. Remember, when you go to Greg, you get the deal. Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Homa's number one new car dealer. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Introducing Fidelity Income Planning. We look at how much you've saved, how much you'll need, and help you build a straightforward plan to generate income, even when you're not working. A plan that gives you the chance to grow your savings and create cash flow that lasts. Plus, you can start, stop, or adjust your plan at any time. Talk to us today so we can help you go from saving to living. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSC, SIPC. Let's go!
Finding great candidates to hire can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. In fact, ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. That's ZipRecruiter.com/GREENY.
Valentine's Day in the Crescent City. It doesn't get any better than that.
What have you designed for us, Lori?
A beautiful crescent moon with a heart inside for everyone you love.
The moon and back pendant is just $99, and it sparkles with a diamond.
At Ramsey's.com.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Well, look back. One of the things, as we wait to get Rafael Esparza, I want to play this, though. You don't want to feel. I think, flat out, Kevin Hart. I love Kevin Hart. I think he's my favorite play-by-play guy right now, probably. And some of the best stuff he does is things like, you know, streakers. Or things that are happening on the court or in the field that shouldn't be. Here's Jordan's streaker last night. Kevin Harlan on the call.
Down 20, 5:03 to go. Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra. And now he's not being chased. He's running down the middle of the 40. Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle, the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1, and they converge on him at the goal line. Pull up your pants. Take off the bra and be a man. And the players with hands on hips at the other end of the field are looking at him and shaking their head and saying, why, oh, why is this taking place in a Super Bowl?
Exactly. Kevin Hart. By the way, the BBC call is coming up next. Rafael Esparza, how are you, sir?
That's great, and I hats off to the intern Jordan there. He called it, and you know what? I actually forgot to put the betting prop up. I was going to put that up. Will we have a streaker, yes or no, and will a streaker be male and female? And being under the weather and doing a lot of media hits, I just totally forgot to send. So I'm glad I didn't, because we probably would have lost on that prop bet.
Raphael, I'm very disappointed, because you said that you'd cancel a bunch of those media hits for the day just so you could put up that line, and I wasn't able to, you know, put my money on it. And when I saw it, I raised my hands like I lost out on some money.
I agree. So I guess lunch on me, or I don't know. I mean, we should all be happy that we saw the best team in the NFC South won last night. So,
Wow. Okay, so you know what? We were throwing that out there today to our callers. We've had a healthy amount chime in. I guess this is silly because they did win the Super Bowl, but just talent. I'm going like on paper. Are the Bucs the better team than the Saints?
Probably. You know what? Maybe in the beginning of the season, the Saints dominated them. We've seen it. But towards the end, we've seen it with the Giants winning the Super Bowl. We saw with the Ravens winning the Super Bowl. Defense wins. And I'm sorry, the Bucs defense was playing much better at the end of the season than the Saints defense was. So it's a two-part question. The beginning of the season, Saints were dominating. And then the end of the season, it was the Bucs defense that was winning games, not Brady. I mean, it was all the Bucs defense.
All right. I brought up Devin White, man. Like, look, obviously they drafted him. He had 38 tackles, interceptions in every game that he played in the postseason. He was incredible. He, Lavonte David, their D-line did a lot of work here as well. But, you know, you think of the players that the Bucs went out and got in the offseason, four in particular, in Fournette, Antonio Brown, Gronkowski, and Brady over on the offensive side. I mean, they were the difference makers in the season's biggest game yesterday. It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, Gronkowski, how does he now? I'm a little bit bitter. I had tight end to win the MVP just because I thought both tight ends might have be big games. And I had a little play on Gronk to win the MVP just because of the high odds. How did they not give Gronk the MVP? It still blows my mind. But, yeah, it was those. I can't believe the three big stars that pulled out big wins for the Buccaneers were not even on the team last year. So, A.B., and you know what? Watching A.B. and Leonard Fournette talk yesterday after the game, just look at their eyes, that they were just grateful that they got that second chance or they were able to play well in the biggest stage. We can all say bad stories about what they've done in the past, but if you look at the two gentlemen's eyes talking about Tom Brady, talk about the second chances that the Bucs gave them, hats off to them, because sometimes you just need a leader or a new stage or a new team to take a chance on you, and hats off to both of them.
I'm glad you went there. Take a chance. I'll ask you this simply because I think it's of note. Within the last 10 minutes, it's popped up. I haven't had a chance to get to it. But it's been reported that the Cardinals and Patrick Peterson are going to split up. Now, he's supposed to be an unrestricted free agent, so it's open. It's open season. He can come to the Saints. I know they've dabbled and tried in the past, and there's been reports of talking about that here as well. Younger than Janoris, I guess. Should the Saints make a play for Patrick Peterson?
I mean, it won't hurt, but I don't think that's I think they have bigger issues, tackling the cap, who's your starting quarterback, offensive line. Some of your key players are not getting younger. So, I mean, it's a step, but I think there's a lot of other holes to fill, because last time I checked, TB12 is still going to be in your division, and it's going to be very hard. And still, Aaron Rodgers is still in your guys' conference, so it's a step, but there's a lot of other holes to be filled.
Okay. You already texted me earlier this morning, the lines already, because the season is done, so now it's time to think of next year and who's got a better shot. What do we got? What do we got, the Bucs next year? What are the odds?
Yeah, it's, of course, yesterday during the game, people are like, where are they? And I was going to post it, we were going to post it at halftime, but they were yelling at us, so Kansas City's 5-1, Green Bay's 8-1, TB12 8-1, Buffalo 11-1, Ravens 12-1, 49ers 14. So the list goes on. Rams 14, and your Saints 18-1. I, you know what? Right now, if I had, I wanted to put them close to where the Seahawks were, 20-1, or maybe the Dolphins. So I just don't like what I've seen so far coming out of them. And I think it could be not a whole total rebuild, but without a new quarterback or a star quarterback, it's going to be hard for them to win some games.
I don't know, Raphael. You just need a piece here and a piece there. Look what the Bucks did. Look, why are you shaking your head, Jordan? You think it's going to be a bigger rebuild than it is?
I just think.
You think 18-1 is.
I think people
accurate?
Are a little bit more hopeful than they probably should be.
Think so? It's 18. Where were they at the start of this season, Raphael, the Saints?
I think there were some places had 8-1. Some places, I think we had like plus 850.
Okay. All right. Easy to know. What are the surprise? I guess, was there any surprise yesterday from the Super Bowl that stood out to you? The halftime show, I was surprised by the amount of people that gave it a negative review. I didn't mind the weekend and the performance and the show was.
No, people need to start to think about, we're in a pandemic. It wasn't going to be like a Katy Perry or J-Lo where there's tons of kids on the stand. I mean, there was a lot of limitations that it was for the weekend, for everything else, all the performers, the commercials. People weren't forking over the money because they were doing other things with their money. So, hello, people, negative people. There's a lot of stuff that people are throwing their money at, not just on commercials and halftime shows because of the pandemic. So I thought he did a fantastic job. He sang songs. I forgot that he sang.
I did too. Yeah.
I thought it was great. I thought it was a very, very, very entertaining halftime.
I liked it. I out of all the Super Bowl commercials, I think this was my favorite one. It was Cheetos. Remember that? It was based off of the Shaggy song, It Wasn't Me. And it was Ashton Kutcher and Mia and Amila Kudis and they were, you know, she's eating the Cheetos and he's like, wasn't me. And there was Shaggy right there on the couch. I wouldn't mind Shaggy coming over and, you know, doing a song between me and Carvey. You know, when Carvey said, it wasn't me when I tried to accuse him of being a bad boy, you know?
I couldn't agree. That was my favorite commercial because I'm a big Shaggy fan. I've always been a fan of both Ashton Kutcher. I'm a big That 70s Show fan. So I thought that was my favorite commercial as well. I mean, the commercials were, again, par, pandemic. They were pretty weak, let's face it. But there were some funny ones. There were some, I can't believe I'm watching this. But I will give an asterisk on the commercials. I won't even grade it.
I'm honestly trying to think of like a second one. Like, what was the second?
I thought they were really pushing the Will Ferrell one a lot, and I just
no, I didn't get it either. I didn't get that one
funny.
Either. It was the Cadillac.
I think so, and I just thought thought it was funny. It just did not come across.
I'm trying to think of one that I can even like honestly like.
I'm just
sometimes
trying to
you see like
the
new products or stuff, you know.
If the Equalizer or the other TV show about the Hannibal Lecter, if it fails, they must have spent a lot of money to put all those ads.
Okay,
they're in a Super Bowl. So.
I'll say this: I'm a huge Silence of the Lambs fan. I love that movie.
Me too.
And my wife has yet to see it. I'm like, you have to see it. And I saw the long trailer of Clarice, which is the new CBS series based off of it. It looks good. Like even if parts of the show is the trailer, I mean, it looks good. It looks like the production, they spent a little money on it. You know what I'm saying? They look like they spent a little money on it. So I'm interested to see you on that because I loved NBC's Hannibal. You remember Hannibal on NBC?
Yeah, that was a
that was an incredible show.
And a couple of the writers that did Clarice were writers from the TV show on CBS, Evil. So I like that show. So I agree. It should be very interesting.
All right, I'm going to close out on this with you because we'll talk again Friday on some of the other things here as well.
Raphael.
What are you pointing
at? What was the coin flip, heads or tails?
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, what was it?
It was heads.
All right, Gus got one right.
I got something right over the weekend. How about that, huh? I got
Congratulations.
Something right. Pelicans have won 3 in a row. How are we looking? Now, the odds going up here in the playoffs? They got them in the finals. What we look like? I mean, 3 wins is a lot over here.
Not playoffs yet.
Oh, come on.
The trade deadline is going to be huge for them. Are they going to be takers or are they going to be trying to move up into the playoffs? I think playoffs could be in their horizon if they get some key pieces. I really like the way they've been playing lately. They're finally rebounding the ball better. They're finally passing the ball better. They're upwards in my views, but again, the trade deadline is going to be huge for them for getting some key pieces.
Rafael Esparza, BSI Sports over on Twitter. And also on Instagram, the video. Looking forward to that. Hey, are you feeling better?
Yes, a little bit. I tried to walk around a little bit today, and my lungs are still, you know, a little bit on a weak side. I hope Carver's feeling better. It sounds like he is.
He's up and running. Yeah, he's good.
I'm not running.
I hear you. At VSI Doc Sports, the way to follow Rafaela Spurs over on Twitter. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you at the end of the week.
Take it easy, guys.
There he goes. Quick break. We come back. The Graf wants to chime in on our Pelicans conversation in chats here.
Nice.
He's had a little fun, huh? He was all pumped up, dude, after that game against the Grizzlies.
I'm just going
to... If there were high fives to be had, he'd high five you. Huh?
He was screaming.
I want to know what it was like to call that play by Alonzo. I think it was a big play, man. I'm being serious. Like, I think it's one of the bigger plays this season for so many reasons. Let's talk about that when we come back with the Voice of the Pels next on ESPN New Orleans.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But E-Tail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing E-Tail Business can do for you, and that's connecting you to work every day. E-Tail is on for business.
Valentine's Day in the Crescent City. It doesn't get any better than that.
What have you designed for us, Lori?
A beautiful crescent moon with a heart inside for everyone you love.
A heart inside a crescent moon?
Yes, and I love you to the moon and back is engraved inside.
The moon and back pendant is just $99 and it sparkles with a diamond.
$199 with a gold heart and a diamond.
And just $499 with a rose gold heart covered in diamonds.
The largest diamond store in Louisiana on Veterans between Bonneville and West End.
Hey everyone, Gus Cattingill here from Men's Total Health. With the new year comes new resolutions. One of them needs to be visit Men's Total Health. Low T can produce physical and emotional changes. Get tested. I did. See where you stand. Men's Total Health can help you be your best self by providing testosterone therapy, annual physicals, help with ED, even IV therapy. Visit Men's Total Health today, located at 3829 Veterans in Metairie, behind the Fidelity Bank building. They accept all major insurances, so call or go online at menstotalhealth.net and let them know the Sports Hangover sent you.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
Talk sport, real sport. Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
The rebound. Hard on the move. He lost it. Somebody got to pick it up. And Willie's got it in the center circle. Whip it down his aisle. Watch out below.
Watch your head.
Oh, he had a little extra on that, huh?
So alley-oop Zion. Oh, yeah. That is thunder from the rafters for Big Z.
I want to check.
Wow. Ty Graffanini, voice of the New Orleans Pelicans. If I didn't know any better, Todd, it sounded like he had fun back in the game against Memphis there, bud.
Gus, I have fun every night, but a little winning streak doesn't hurt. I will say that. No, what a great weekend it really was. Friday night up in Indy, had to hang on, but got it done. And then, of course, just a big-time fourth quarter against Memphis. I mean, you hold the Grizzlies to 18 points in the fourth quarter. That's pretty much it right there, Gus. I mean, defense won that ball game, and it's just good to see because they're putting it all together. You know, and I know, look, it's a modest winning streak, don't get me wrong. But you're starting to see improvement like you talked about at the top of the show.
And that's why I wanted you to chime in on that, because look, when you look at it, and I was talking to Jordan about it, I thought that stop and that play by Lonzo, and you're right, it wasn't a block in my mind, it was because it was defended incredible. And look, and I said, credit the official. Normally you see something like that, there's contact at that point in the game. Todd is probably a whistle, and there wasn't. And it wasn't a foul. They didn't complain, they didn't challenge, it wasn't. But that's a big play in the season, because if the team decides to move on, that a play like that really increases the trade value, shows what he's doing. But in so many other aspects of it, look, you always look to see how people react when they're challenged or when things don't go well. And come on, man, these kids and everyone pays attention to social media. There is no way he didn't see media members, much less fans, talking about it's time to trade him. And since those trade rumors and reports started, Todd, you've called the games. Lonzo Ball, I mean, the proof is in the statistics. Pelicans PR tweeted this morning about those things. The Pels win when he plays well. It's bottom line. So I guess you can deduce that he took it a certain way, and he balled, and he's balling.
No pun intended, but you're right. Look, there's a lot to unpack there, Gus. I mean, you talk about the trade rumors. We had David Griffin on Pelicans Weekly a couple of weeks ago, and he flat told us on the show when I was talking to him that he went to Lonzo himself and discussed it. So he's been hearing this for 2 weeks now. And, look, going back to that last play against Indiana, let me just say this. If the Pelicans would have lost that game, that would have been devastating because, I mean – think about the game in the Smoothie King Center that the Pacers won. But Friday night was way different because you were running away with that game. You had an 18-point lead with about 2 minutes left in the third quarter, and they called timeout, and then Justin Holiday decided to do his best Steph Curry imitation and literally made every shot that he put up the rest of the ball game. Indiana made 10 straight threes, Gus. You can't do that against nobody. Like, if you're shooting in the gym.
But by the way, I want to pause you for a second. How many basketball games have you called? How many years were you at Tulane?
Oh, good Lord. 12 years.
Okay, so 12 years. How many games in college basketball for men's season?
Anywhere to 30 to 35.
Okay, so Jordan, do the math there. 30 times 12 and in a full season of the NBA now. So you've called a lot of basketball. Have you ever seen 10 threes in a row?
Actually, it's funny. I have. St. John's did that against Tulane a few years ago when Mike Dunleavy was the coach. And I say that because Chris Mullen, who, of course, is a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
I met him last year in San Francisco, and he was the coach for St. John's in that game. And I went up to him and I said, you know, Coach, I've never met you, but I just wanted to say that I was courtside calling that game when you guys literally made every shot that you put up in the first half. He goes, was that unbelievable or not? I said, oh, it was believable. I watched it. So, yes, I have seen it before, but not in the end. I mean, they literally made 10 threes in a row from the end of the third quarter to about 3 minutes left when they finally missed one. But, Gus, that play was so big because here's the thing. It was a pick-and-roll play at the top of the key, and Turner just basically drove it right past Steven Adams. And Lonzo Ball switched over. He was on the right elbow and shuffled his feet down to – actually, he was on the left elbow and shuffled his feet down to the right block and went up basically principle of verticality, even leaning forward just a hair against a much, much taller player. I mean, Miles Turner, 6'10", 6'11". And Lonzo did enough to get in his grill that he was able to alter his shot. And I tell you, if you watch the play like I have again and again, that thing was very, very close to spinning on the rim and going in. But, of course, it was a little short, and Josh Hart got the rebound. And the best part about Josh Hart and rebounding that ball was he wasn't able to grasp it right off the rim, and he actually fumbled it before going down to the floor where he was able to call a timeout. But by that time, a couple of extra seconds had ticked away, and there was only 0.5 seconds left when Josh Hart got that timeout. So basically the game ended right there. But that's a huge play.
Yeah.
Because if that ball goes in, we're talking about a whole different type of circumstances because, first of all, you have no winning streak, and then you got to deal with another loss like you had against Indiana, who had no business being in that ball game other than their, you know, unbelievable fourth quarter shooting when nobody missed.
Yeah, and on top of that, you're going home for you know, a back-to-back.
A back-to-back.
Memphis.
Exactly.
And I just sent you the picture again. I know you've seen it 100 times, but I sent it to Jordan, too, so we could discuss it. But you're talking about him going. I mean, there's contact. Both bodies hit. But the reason there's no fouls because, as you mentioned, he's jumping straight up, and you're allowed to do that and basically form a wall. But, dude, look, bottom line, he's not only just doing that, but you've heard Zion mention they want him to do that. They want him to be that confident. Listening to the post game, when he was speaking with Jennifer Hale after the Memphis game, he said the same thing again. He's like, we want Lonzo to be that confident and everything else. So, Todd, you heard my theme all last week, and you have 5 games in 7 days starting last Friday. For this next week, I wanted to see consistency. More importantly, I want to see the continuation of the team getting better and improving. And David Wesley last Friday said, look, you're at the point right now. Everyone knows the plays. Everyone should know where they're going to go. And now it's a matter of starting to learn how to play with one another, right? I mean, and that's kind of my theme this week is, well, let's see what happens now where everybody's kind of knowing what they're going to do. They know when Van Gundy's going to call a timeout. Stan kind of probably knows his players as well as he can by now. So maybe, is this an important stretch for you in your mind?
Yeah, and look, I think the rotations are a little bit more set now where, you know, and Stan Van Gundy talked about this back in the beginning of training camp. He wasn't going to know what the rotations were going to be even in the first couple of weeks of the season because he's still learning the team himself. But I think now we're starting to get a pretty good feel of what's going to happen with guys coming off the bench. I mean, you know, basically at the 6-7 minute mark, Zion's going to come off. Josh Hart's going to come in. Your backup point guard now, we saw Kyra instead of Nikhil. Nikhil's just in a really, really bad shooting slump right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the bottom line. And, you know, Van Gundy talked about, you know, he's probably playing out of position. Nikhil's really a two guard, but they've asked him to be a point guard at times. So we'll see what happens, you know. And to Nikhil's credit, you know, after the game on Saturday, Gus, we're sitting there doing the post game, and he's out by himself on the court getting shots up. So he's not discouraged, even though he was a DNPCD the other night against Memphis, which, you know, Gus, he's been playing 25 to 30 minutes a game for the last few weeks now. So that was probably a little shock to the system with him, but it was good to see Kyrie. He was very effective in his minutes in that game. How many did he play? Looking at the box score, played nearly 19 minutes,
right,
and was effective not only offensively but defensively as well. So it was good to see him out there. But again, the original point, the rotations, I think, are a little bit better. You're going to see Billy Hernan Gomez now. It appears he's first off the bench now as far as the backup center. We'll see what happens with Jackson as far as just, you know, he's got to. Again, don't get discouraged, even though he's not playing. But the rotations are going to anywhere from 9 to 10. They know what their roles are, and I think they're getting a lot more comfortable in what they're doing, especially on the defensive end, where it's just been a world of difference, Gus, really, in the last week and a half, despite what happened in the fourth quarter against Indiana with the hot shooting and, of course, what De'Aaron Fox did for Sacramento. You know, and I know you've been talking about how discouraging that Sacramento game was. The thing about that game, Gus, it was a dead even game for the first three quarters. The problem is De'Aaron Fox took over in the fourth and the Pelicans scored 15 points. That was the ball game. It was really a close game. And then just the fourth quarter, let it get away. So I just, despite that, you know, you got Houston tomorrow night. They had that huge second quarter against us.
They're playing pretty good, huh? Boogie.
Well, yeah. Now they suffered a loss injury-wise. Christian Wood sprained his ankle.
He's been balling
severely. Yeah, he has, and he had a big game against us in that game. He is not going to be available to play tomorrow night, so that's a bit of a loss for them. Though, even though Houston did beat San Antonio the other night, it's a game. I think obviously when you play a team so close to each other, there's really not a whole lot of surprises, and we'll see what kind of adjustments the Pelicans make. Todd, we had 2 days off, Gus. I don't even know what to do with myself.
well, last night during a day off, you got to watch a little bit of Super Bowl. Obviously, throughout the season, you were part of the Saints broadcast over on NewOrleansSaints.com doing live chats. I'm sure that was fun going back and forth with fans here as well. You know, look, you're a Saints fan as well, dude. It's tough to sort of see that, but at the same time, you look at that division and you heard him say, we're coming back. It's going to be interesting to see if they bring back Fournette and Brown and everybody else and Gronk and all that. But, look, I mean, at least you know today that that's the team in your division you got to face. And it's something that's interesting because the Saints haven't had to really face that. You can always say you got to get the Falcons. You knew that game was always going to be a tough one. But look, the Panthers made a play to go get, you know, have reached out to try to get Deshaun Watson. They made a play apparently for Matthew Stafford. So they're not sitting back. Let's see what the Falcons sort of do. It's an interesting offseason because I can't remember last time where the Saints were faced with, hey, we're not just simply the best team in the division, you know, in the offseason going into the regular season. They're now not.
Yeah, and look, I mean, full disclosure, Gus, I went to bed angry last night. I really did. It's a bitter pill to swallow when you dominate a team twice in the regular season and they wound up winning the winning the world championship. I couldn't get 38-3 out of my head. I'm like, we beat this team 38-3, and they were at full strength. But I will give them this, and I hate throwing bouquets at division rivals. You know that. But if you go back to, I want to say it's early December, Tampa's playing in Atlanta, and they're down 17-0 at halftime. Yep. And I remember that game because if Atlanta would have pulled it out, and, of course, shame on us for pulling for the Atlanta Falcons and anything. But if they would have won that game, the Saints would have won the division that day. Well, if you think what happened in the second half, Tampa scored 31 points, beat them 31-24, held Atlanta to 7 points in the second half. They won that game and never looked back. They never lost again. And they kept going up. And as you've been talking about it all day, their defense really, really stepped up in the playoffs. You know, I still would have, I would have loved to have known what have happened if Jared Cook wouldn't have fumbled that ball. But we'll never know that. And look, when you win a world championship, when you make a run through the playoffs, you make plays like that if you're on the winning side. And, you know, Tampa was on the winning side. They made the play and were able to go to Green Bay. And, of course, what happened? I mean, that wasn't even a ball game yesterday. It was a very boring Super Bowl. And you just got to give credit to Tampa's defense. They won the game. Tampa didn't do anything special on offense. They were just efficient. They got short fields, and they took advantage of it. But Tampa's defense was outstanding.
Voice of the New Orleans Pelicans at NT Graph. Go give a follow. Tomorrow we'll have the call against the Rockets. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
Quick break. Your phone calls, your tweets. On your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Okay, we've got Rick here, a veteran in the league who's gone 0-2 the past Valentine's days. Do you think he can pull off a win this year?
I always like an underdog, Bob, but I'm not sure about this guy.
He's passing aisle three, picks up a bag of wings, he dodges the produce section.
But will he pick up the heart-shaped box?
Heading toward the candy aisle, he's picking up speed. Oh no, he chokes and heads straight to the checkout.
Unbelievable, this close to Valentine's Day.
Don't be a Rick. Make happy this Valentine's Day with a heart-shaped box of Russell Stover chocolates.
With no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, banking with Capital One is like the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Kind of like choosing Charles Barkley in a pickup game.
We'll take Barkley.
Ha! First pick! Sorry, kids!
Yep, even easier than that. And with our top-rated app, you can bank anytime, anywhere, making Capital One an even easier decision.
Okay, here's the plan. Pass me the ball every time.
This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
New consumer accounts only. Approval required. Terms apply. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation here. We'll throw this into the buffet of topics to get your thoughts. Patrick Peterson, Matt Verdami, reporting that the Cardinals and the former All-Pro cornerback are going to part ways, barring a significant change in status. He's slated to be an unrestricted free agent. So they have it. Do you think that the Saints should make a go at him? Pro Football Focus, the Cardinals and Patrick Peterson, they tweet, are parting ways. Peterson, 85.4 career PFF grade, 24th among quarterbacks. I know a lot of Saints fans have always wanted him. The Saints have dabbled. They've looked into it. That's a secret. So we'll throw that into the buffet of topics here. What do you think that the Saints should maybe make a play? And when you look at a guy like Patrick Peterson at that part of his career, he's probably looking to go somewhere that he thinks will be a team that can make a run at a Super Bowl. Diana Rossini also tweeting a little bit ago, the Kansas City Police will have a press conference tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern, to address any and all questions about the Britt Reed car crash. The police will have a sergeant from the Traffic Investigations Unit available to speak to reporters. Of course, that is based off of the accident that happened late last week. Andy Reid's son, he's a linebacker's coach as well. He admitted to investigators on the scene and police that he had 2 to 3 drinks, also was on Adderall. I believe Jordan, what is a 4-year-old, and still currently in very critical condition, hasn't woken up. Two kids in that car wreck that he hit, apparently the cars didn't have lights on or whatever, and just wonder if that was an effect on that game yesterday as well. Couple of Twitter tidbits from you folks out there chiming into all of the different topics we got today. Peter on Twitter, you need points for the guard position, but it's not about that with Lonzo. What does he do when he doesn't score is why I still say we have to move on from him. If he kept filling the stat sheet on his off nights, there wouldn't be an issue. It's something to kind of, again, it's kind of just a thought that I threw out there. How, if at all, do you feel that you should, or do you change your mind, or have you changed your mind, or are you just, hey, good for everybody involved based off of his recent play? Again, Jordan can give us the stat here in a little bit from Pelicans PR. What is it, Jordan? 16 points a game in the 3-game win streak or something of that nature is what they've had. And he's shooting pretty good. What is it, Jordan?
Yeah, from Pelicans PR a few hours ago, Lonzo Ball is averaging 16 points on 48% shooting from the field, including 47% from three-point range, to go with 6 rebounds and 5 assists.
Yeah, I mean, that's there you go. So that's kind of what Peter's saying is, like, you want to see that. But again, it's consistency, right? It's consistency with him. You'd like to see consistent play. One way, shape, or form on that. It is funny on how Saints fans sort of feel this morning. ESPN just tweeted a little bit ago, Super Bowl 55 is in the books. Here's our writers and what they are ranking teams for next season. The way too early top 10. You ready, Jordan? The way too early top 10. At number 10, the Tennessee Titans. At number 9, San Francisco 49ers. Mind you, they're looking for a quarterback, or I guess they'll come back with Jimmy. I don't know. Number 8, the Seattle Seahawks. At number 7, the Cleveland Browns. At number 6, the Baltimore Ravens. At number 5, the Rams with new quarterback Matt Stafford. At number 4, your world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. At number 3, the Green Bay Packers. At number 2, Jordan, the Buffalo Bills. And at number 1, go ahead, say it nice and loud and proud. Who you got?
Ooh.
Say it. Come on. There it is.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The way too early top 10. Power rankings. ESPN. What do you think? Huh? No?
1-2.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be 1-2 next year in the Super Bowl.
Don't worry, because of free agency and the draft will take care of Mahomes' knees. Oh, they will fix that line. They're going to fix that line. Don't you worry. Don't you worry, Jordan. They'll fix that line. can't believe you called him Pat Go-Homes. You know, that's so disrespectful.
Go-Homes.
Pat Go-Home. By the way, you noticed who's not on that top 10?
Oh, man. I wonder who that could be.
Go ahead and say it.
Starts with an S.
Mm-hmm. Tania on Twitter. And the Saints are just forgotten.
Yep.
She tweets at ESPN. Okay, so I just off the top of your head, off the top of your head, I'm going to read the names of the teams. You're going to say yes or no. The Saints better?
Just the NFC teams, right?
No. Are the Saints better? Ready? Tennessee. I would say yes.
Yes, but I think it's cutting it close.
Oh, can you even do this because you don't know who your quarterback is? I'm telling you, it's probably going to be James. But why you give me that look? You're not convinced James is coming. Okay, so it's not. It's Taysom Hill. They won 3 of 4. Ooh. Oh, okay, but still.
I'm giving you the same look.
Okay, but they still won. Didn't they win some games? And granted, one of those, they couldn't cross the 50. But still, that's neither here or there. The 49ers. They don't even know who they won at quarterback yet. Saints or Niners right now?
I'm taking the Saints.
Seahawks or Saints?
Seahawks.
It's just the first. There's no right or wrong here. Again, this is just first thing that pops in your head when you hear the Browns or Saints.
It's going to sound crazy, but people are going to hate me. I'm going to say the Browns.
Ravens or Saints?
Saints. I think they have to. The Ravens are kind of, they're imploding.
They're imploding based on what?
I don't know. Lamar Jackson isn't cutting it.
He's not cutting it.
He's not cutting it.
Wow.
And
wow.
I just don't have a lot of faith in
Rams
the Ravens.
Or Saints?
I'm going to stick with my whole thing. I'm still saying Saints.
Buccaneers or Saints?
From what we saw yesterday, the greatest, you know, according to you, greatest defense of all time.
They're not going
to
get worse.
Bucks.
Packers or Saints? And Aaron Rodgers said yesterday when he was given the MVP award over the weekend, you know what he said? Engaged now. He has a fiance.
Oh, then the Saints are definitely better.
You go with Saints. He is. What did Raphael say? Single Aaron is a lot better than taking Aaron. The Buffalo Bills.
Give me Buffalo.
Yeah, dude. That offense can throw.
Good.
And you ready?
Yeah.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Hey, they have to figure a few things out during the offseason.
They won 14 games. I mean,
they did win. I mean, 14-2.
Yeah. So,
14-3.
Tania,
sorry.
I mean, I don't think they forgot about the Saints, but I think the main thing you have to think about being a Saints fan is you don't know who your quarterback is just yet. So how does that offense sort of change depending on who it is? If it is just Taysom Hill, the offense is going to be different. If it's Jameis, how do they contour towards that? And I think the biggest reason, Tania, why the Saints are not in the top 10, because they're almost $100 million over the cap. So you're going to have some changes and stuff. So I can't give you an accurate description as to how good they're going to be because I don't know who's going to be on this team next month. Sports Hangover continues with Hour 3X on ESPN New Orleans. And then I
met someone else. Valentine's Day in the Crescent City. It doesn't get any better than that.
What have you designed for us, Lori?
A beautiful